Let's just pray together. Almighty God, may the echoes of the scriptures remain in our hearts. Help us be open to them. Amen. I'm just having a quick look round to make sure what I'm about to say is true. Yes, it is. My wife has heard me preach more than any of us in this church today. And she got very excited when she heard there was going to be Lego. She's all good, finally something to do during one of your sermons. But that's not quite what she meant. But I know some of us do struggle with sitting still. So if anybody does want to come up and build Lego during my sermon, feel free. There's still plenty enough in there. I love the post-Christmas time because we've come through some beautifully guided scriptures over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks that have led us to a Christmas story. But as I touched on earlier, one of the things about this time of year is we're very much in that, so what's next phase. I guess if you've put away your Christmas tree decorations, your house looks different, you've made New Year's resolutions maybe or something like that. So what's next? What are we doing next? We try to make sense of what we've come through with a family Christmas or working Christmas or whatever sort of Christmas it's been. We've got to New Year. How many people stayed up for New Year for that midnight? Keep your hands up if you just thought, thank goodness it's midnight, I can go to bed now. So what happens now? Once we've got to midnight, oh, we just go to bed. And what happens next? Well, I don't know about you, but I've always struggled with the new year first few days because you've got all this great build-up to what the new year is, but it's the same music on the radio. It's the same news on the television or in the newspaper. The house is exactly as I left it last year. What does it mean? So we should be really thankful for writers who had the same experience with Jesus. Because people like St. Paul are fantastic. I don't know what you think about St. Paul. I know he's not everyone's favourite. I've got a great deal of respect for Paul because he was trying to say, so what happens next? If this Jesus thing, not just person, but the whole thing has happened, now what? And so I love when we get these writers, these epistles, these letters, these writings of the New Testament, because they're all about trying to help us think about, so what do we do now? And when I saw that, when I read today's reading, I thought there's a pretty good template in that for what we should do. Because the first part is, blessings be to God the Father. I mean, I've done it in 6 words, whereas we've had far more words than that. But that's the first part. It's a thank you note to God for Jesus. And whatever experience we've had of Christmas, that's a good starting point. To remember to say, blessed be God for Christmas. Not for the tinsel and everything else like that, but for the story of the gift of God's own Son. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to go to a Jewish Passover meal or something like that. I think it's quite interesting how in so much of the words that we hear at an event like that are blessed be God. And it sounds a little bit backwards, if I'm honest, because we're used to talking about God blessing us, whereas in the words, it's blessed be God. It's clearly part of the Jewish understanding that we bless God through respect and honour with a heart of thankfulness. In fact, in Christianity, we don't really have a similar sort of phrase. You might hear it in other faiths. Even Islam has something similar. Blessings be to God. Blessed be God. A thank you note. It's a confession of thanks. It's a proclamation of thanks. What a great way to start the new year, with being reminded to thank God. It puts us in a relationship and a context with God. Who was thanked over Christmas for a Christmas present they'd given? No one. What? What sort of presents did you give each other? Was it socks and handkerchiefs throughout the whole community? Hopefully you might have given something and someone said, thank you. It's never just for the gift. It's for the relationship of why that gift has been given. When we remember to say, blessed be God, we are putting ourselves, we are reminding ourselves of our relationship with God. Well, what does that mean? We're in a relationship with God. That's lovely, isn't it? In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Again, I'm paraphrasing some of the scripture reading that we had read for us earlier. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. God has an incredible sense of persistence. It's generations, generations, millennia long. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, which echoes the Lord's Prayer that we said earlier. Why do we say the Lord's Prayer every week? I mean, we've said it before, right? We might have even sung it. But it's an ongoing prayer. It's a prayer that never dies. And forgive us this day. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our sins, our debts, or our trespasses. Every time we pray that, we're recognizing God's persistence to be with God's people. I do ask a lot of questions during a sermon, so let's keep going. Who's been perfect this Christmas? What only shocked me was it was an equal number of men and women who put their hand up. So apart from four of you, the rest have faltered over Christmas in some way or another. But at Christmas, it's a metaphor, really. It's a reminder of how even in family life, when we get things wrong, we do stay as family. It's not always an easy relationship with family. But what a small example of God's persistence with a broken people. If that's not worth being reminded about at the start of a new year, I don't know what is. In Him we have redemption, forgiveness, according to the riches of His grace. Later on, He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ. When I spoke earlier about the building of the Lego, we don't have an instruction manual for our lives. We might have a diary that we consult with, maybe several times a day or at the start of a day or at the start of a week. But we don't really have a manual about every second. It's not a diagram that we look through. The closest we get, really, to how we live our lives is the person of Jesus. What an incredible example. And if we've ever fallen into that trap of saying, faith, church, Jesus is becoming more and more irrelevant to today's world, I'm not sure which world you're looking at. Because when I watch the news or hear the news or read the news, I can only see the need for Jesus, for someone of that way. There are plenty of people who can offer judgments and even curses through the news, through social media, or whatever it is. But some of the words we had with our bread and wine were fantastic, setting us in the example, in the way of God as peaceful people. The example of Jesus. What a New Year's resolution every Sunday. That's why we come to church every Sunday, to set ourselves again to go forward. And this is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption. I was having a look through certain things about this Bible passage, and it gets really confusing when you say, how many times does St. Paul use the word whatever it is? Because, firstly, do you mean the English or the Greek? And do you mean how the word has been interpreted in English, even if it's the same Greek word or a different Greek word? It's really confusing. But of a phrase St. Paul uses towards 20 times. 20 times. St. Paul really has deeply embedded in his mind that we are working towards something. Has anybody been to the shops recently in the last 4 days? Have you noticed how Easter has arrived? The Easter eggs are in the shops, the hot cross buns are on the shelves. Boom, we've arrived at Easter. I think two incredible gifts that we have in church: Advent and Lent. Lent is just round the corner. There are times when we are reminded that we're moving towards. Sometimes we know through our routines. I haven't got a clue about farming. The only qualification I have that helps me understand farming is every now and then I watch Country File. But what I do know is this: farmers are always working towards something. I've had other colleagues and friends and family who have worked in shops, in retail, and they are never looking at what season we're in. They're always looking at what's coming next. That's part of our purposes in church life. We are journeying towards. I am sorry to have to say this to four of you. None of us are perfect. We are moving towards that day. And it probably won't be tomorrow. It probably won't be Thursday week. It will be one day. That's one of the great hopes of the church. One day. One day, we will be fully built as people. Being peaceful, being loving, being forgiving and accepting. One day it will happen. One day that moment will arrive. One day the church will be made perfect. We know it's not. But one day it will be. We are called to be a part of that journey. One day, the kingdom of God will be complete. It will no longer only partially be here. It will be fully here. It will be that day when we no longer have to look for God in bread and wine, when we are at one with God. We may not have an instruction manual for every moment of our life. We may just have a random box of Lego, none of which seems to make sense to build anything specific. But we have a faith that says, one day, and we have a Saviour who says, journey with me. And we have a God who says, you are beautiful. Let's make this world perfect together. What a way to start the year. If you've not made any New Year's resolutions, if you've not built anything yet, if you've only been destroying things, this reading from Ephesians, for me, connects. It tells me what I'm part of and what I'm building, and what a privilege it is to be a part of that. I am thankful, so thankful, for the chance to come and be with you today. As moderator, it's not just being sitting in an office somewhere, it's trying to get out and be with people. And I'm thankful that already, not the only memory I'm going to take from this, is that I preached next to a tree that had Christmas fish on it. I love the fish. If someone can tell me the story about why there's Christmas fish, I think that's fantastic. But the tree will come, the tree will go, the decorations will go, and we will be what's left. What a privilege that is. What a purpose that gives us. We're part of God's church. Thanks be to God.